Hey guys, Rusty Mansell here with Dog Talk Live and new show, new name, new sponsor, presenting sponsor, Hotel Indigo in Athens. I don't think many of you have to have an introduction there, but want to welcome Hotel Indigo of Athens and everybody associated with that and being the presenting sponsor of Dog Talk Live. You know, I've been over there many times. You know, let me say this about Hotel Indigo. If you haven't been one time, it's one of those places you go once, it's a wrap. You'll love it there. But Hotel Indigo in downtown Athens, it's a place to stay, whether it's midweek travel, a weekend wedding, or cheer on the Georgia Bulldogs. Also, let me say this too, Parents Weekend. You talk about off season and people always talk about Parents Weekends and all that. It's a no-brainer for Hotel Indigo. They got wedding venue, got club downstairs. This place is super nice. But go to IndigoAthens.com, book your next stay for Athens. IndigoAthens.com is the place to be in Athens, Georgia. And we will be there. We will be there live. We'll be there night before Alabama. We will be there live the night before Ole Miss. And we will be there live the night before Texas. We got some special guests that are going to be here. Welcome in, everybody, that's joining tonight for Dog Talk Live with me, from Rusty Mansell from Dogs HQ. Got my guy Stephen Farmer there from Rome, Georgia, with me. You know, me and Stephen were Purple Dragons and Model Blue Devils, but now we're all good and we're guys. So, listen. Two things I want you to do is everybody checks in. I always give you a quick story, so you know I got one coming. Two things when everybody's checking in tonight, let's do this. I'd love when you tell me where you're from. Like, I know my guy Ty is always from Nashville. I love my Nashville folks. I love that city. So I see you always checking in. I want to know tonight, question of the night is, what was the first Georgia home game you ever went to? For me, I believe it was 1984 Tulane game. I believe it was back then. So getting to that, 1984, that's my story tonight, my quick story. Who took me to that? My grandfather. My grandfather was a diehard Georgia Bulldog. My grandfather was a season ticket holder. He taught me about recruiting. He was the first person to ever had a recruiting list in front of me when I was probably 12, 13 years old. And he's reading out names and showing me who all recruits are and all these things. And God knows where he got those lists at back then in 1985, 86, and 87. But he followed it. So people ask me memorabilia and stuff in your house, in your office. I always keep this. That's my grandfather who's passed away in 1999. That is his 1980 national championship hat. How bad is that, boys? I keep that in my office. I also keep this from 1982, Bulldog Boogie album. I had someone who's younger, way younger, ask me, said, what is that thing in your background, that album? And I said, it is an album. It's Bulldog Boogie. That's really cool. But guys, welcome. Again, want to say tonight, we are presented by Hotel Indigo in Athens. They're with us all season for Dog Talk Live. And we will talk enough about Hotel Indigo. We'll talk some more before this night's over with about them and how you guys should be going by there. It's a great place. But let's get into some business. Let's get into it. I appreciate you guys checking in. Again, the two questions of the night, where are you from? And the first home game you ever went to in Athens. Who was Georgia playing what year? Georgia, Kentucky, 2010. That's good. All right, guys, let's get into Austin Peay. You know, kind of a messed up day there. You had the weather. Game got moved up. Georgia tried to beat it a little bit and just was unable to. And it really got the East Coast. You know, it got Clemson. A lot of people were in a lot of different people were in delays. I was in the delay Friday night for 2.5 hours at Buford, so I understood the weather. Team Bloodline, Blakely County. Man, I'll have to bring up Early County one night, but I'm not doing that tonight for sure. Austin Peay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about a couple positive things before we get into some real questions. I'm going to put a bow kind of on Austin Peay here. Let's close the book on them. Defense, I think defense has played lights out. And, you know, they can only do what's in front of them. They can only play who's in front of them. And I've been impressed. I have been really, really impressed with the Georgia defense. I think speed, I think the defensive line, now they're going to face a whole different situation this weekend. But I love what I see out of the defensive line, man. Those guys, Gabe Harris, you know, Elijah Griffin, Kristen Miller, Jordan Hall. I mean, these guys, when you can control the line of scrimmage right now, and again, they haven't played the best competition yet, but still, you know, you want them to be able to dominate who's in front of them, and they have. I really like it. And that's good news for me, because I think the strength of Georgia's team are those four inside linebackers, the Chris Cole, Justin Williams, C.J. Allen, Raylan Wilson. I think those core guys are – that is That is elite players. Those are all NFL guys, and very excited about that. So what happens is if your line of scrimmage is controlling it, they're controlling gaps. It allows those guys in behind it to run and make plays. So a lot of good there. I thought the secondaries played good. You know, they're going to get challenged this week. Obviously, you'll get challenged a lot differently. Defensively, I've been impressed with tackling. I've been impressed with, you know, a quick turnover. You know, Georgia turns the ball over on the first series. Nate Frazier gets popped. The ball gets loose. They have to come right on the field, come back. London Humphreys gets the ball knocked out of his hand. They have to come right back on the field. So a couple of things, you know, you got to be able to have a quick changeover. You got to be able to get focused, and Georgia defensively have had that. The next kind of positive thing I want to talk about is the run game for Georgia. And listen, Nate Frazier, you know, some of the fumbling stuff worries you a little bit. You know, he had that problem last year, you know, then he kind of fixed it. Then he had a little bit and you kind of didn't know where it was. You didn't hear much about it. Then he fumbles one. But this is what I noticed out of that. Not that he wasn't running hard, but they took him out of the game. And the next couple of series, it was Chauncey Bowens. It was Dwight Phillips Jr. And those guys, I have been thoroughly impressed with those guys. Number one, how quick Dwight Phillips hits the hole. I think his vision is there. It's been talked about a lot. Oh, my gosh. Bill Stanfield, that caught my attention there. Jerry McIntosh, we'll come back to that one, man. That's a great one, man. Jake Scott, Bill Stanfield, that's a great Barstool story. Let's say you talk about Dwight Phillips and Chauncey Bowens, and those guys are breaking tackles. Those guys are seeing the field. And then I'll tell you this. You know, I know Kirby got into Nate Frazier pretty good on that goal line for not – you could see him mouth kind of effing strain. He wanted to see him strain. He wanted to see him – you know, he did that. Like, you're on the goal line. You got to get in. But I will say this out of Nate Frazier. I thought when he came back in, like two possessions later, he ran great. And I've been impressed with the run game. That was a kind of a concern for me. Can these guys break tackles? Can they miss tackles? Can they make people miss tackles? Can they hold on to the ball? But that's some of the positives I've seen right now. Defensively, I'm impressed. Offensively, right now, there's some concerns. After the Marshall game, okay, I took that for what it was worth. You saw some things that were, you know, you were okay with. You knew those things. To me, going to get into Gunnar Stockton conversation, and let's not just put everything on Gunnar Stockton, because it's not. I mean, I talked to a former Georgia player today, and I'm not going to give his name, but I promise you, everybody on this thing knows this guy. And everybody would respect him. And I asked him, what did you see on tape? He said, Rusty, they were in seven-man protection a couple of times, and they were still getting pressure on it. That's offensive line. You got to fix that. Those are one-on-one battles. You got to win those battles. You got to allow this guy to set his feet. You know, so it's got to work in unison there. I mean, this is, you know, all 11 guys have to do their job. I think Gunner, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like Gunner took a shot early in that game, and I think Kirby shut him down in the run game. They didn't do much RPO stuff. They didn't do much option with him. He took a shot, and you could see him favor a little bit. He stayed in the game, and you know, you got to be tough sometimes and fight through those things. So I think my personal opinion is they shut him down in the run game. Gunner Stockton, to be effective and to do what you need to do with him, he's got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to account for that, and, you know, did a lot of drop back passing with him. Listen, there's a lot going on there. I will say this. One of my biggest things I want to see out of Gunner this week is anticipation. I want to see you throw a guy open. When the guy comes out of the break, the ball's got to be already on him. I went back and watched last year's game, and Georgia started out slow offensively. You know, they started slow last year. They were down 10 to nothing, not really anything going. They got kind of hot, had a couple of drives. And I will say, a couple of balls that Carson Beck threw, one to Arian Smith and then one to Oscar Delp. He threw that when those guys were coming out of their breaks. They were only open for a second. And I want to see Gunner do that. I want to be able to see him do those things, anticipate, hit some guys there. Going to have to trust his pocket when it's there. If you haven't seen Dogs HQ Plus, Jake Rowe's got a couple of really good plays that says a lot about some of the things that was Gunner's fault and some of the things that were not Gunner's fault. Listen, this quarterback. Okay, it's one of those deals. You're going to get the blame for a lot of stuff. It's the hardest position in sports. It is. It's the hardest position in sports, period. Everybody else has got to believe in you. But, you know, I think Gunner, he's still, you know, even though he's a very experienced guy with a lot of snaps in practice, he's still learning here. So I would be interested to see how they attack Tennessee this weekend with him. But let's close out Austin Peay before we get into some of those other things with that. Again, not a great game. You never apologize for a win. You come out and you get out of that game relatively healthy, other than Ethan Barber. And I do want to say that sucks for that kid, because here he is. He's worked his tail off, and he started. I mean, he's really starting as a true freshman. Now, they had him in a fullback type role, had him in a fullback role and doing some H-back stuff, but physicality there. Just hate it for that young man. But, hopefully he gets back at some point. I have any idea. It would be hard for me to believe he makes it back this year. But, you know, if you're getting hurt this early in the year in a football season, you got time for recovery. And just a great kid out of Middleton High School. I've covered him for a long time, and he was off to a great start. So, let's get on from Austin Peay. I think everybody's talked about it, and again, it is what it is. Okay, that was a sample size. You know, you want to kind of put away offensively, but it's a learning moment. You know, like, you've got to see your tape, and you hear Kirby Smart say it all the time: you are what you put on tape right now. You know, show me what you are. So those are the things you're going to have to learn with and grow offensively. I'll say this too. I'll stand by this. I love their offensive. I love their wide receiver room. I still think they got guys there. I'm very interested this weekend of how they attack Tennessee, because widely noted, Tennessee's two starting corners are out. They got some talented players there, but they don't have the experience, the guys that were in there. And Ricky Gibson's a guy that Georgia recruited hard, really hard, and almost had him at one point. We'll see how they attack that, because I think they'll get some one-on-one things. But I also think Georgia can run the football too. But wide receiver, I'm still there. Tight end room, got to use them, got to get them. And I heard Kirby say this in the press conference. And he said that a lot of times, sometimes the tight ends are the primary call, and it was either didn't work or Gunner came off of that, you know, came off of it and went to the check down. It's not like they're not trying to get the tight ends involved offensively and by calls. It's just not working right now. Got too talented of a room not to have those guys. And really and truthfully, they didn't have a great year first half of the year with tight ends last year. But when you start talking about Tennessee owned those guys, they had Oscar Delp. In fact, I think he only had 9 catches going into the Tennessee game last year. He had 2 touchdowns. One play was a great play. They lined up in the trips and they ran him back behind the coverage. Nobody was there. Don't like the 5. It's an easy touchdown for him in the back of the end zone. So same offensive coordinator versus same defensive coordinator. You know, do you tuck that away where the tight end's got a hold of some guys in the middle there against Tennessee? So let's move forward here, guys, and then we'll get to some questions in just a minute. Thank you guys, too, for checking in. I'm going to get to all those. SEC plays here, man. We're going to Knoxville. Said it this week. Jake Rose said it. 330 is as good as you could possibly want, because Neyland Stadium is one of those places. It's loud. It's crazy. And it is the first SEC game of the year. It will be jacked up there. And Georgia's beat them, I think, 8 times in a row now since that Hail Mary. So they're going to want some of Georgia. And you know, I went through this in the 90s going to those games. And Georgia, you know, when they finally beat Tennessee, it was like a big, you know, breath of fresh air. People run all over the field and all that. I don't know that somebody would do that now if they beat Georgia. But I understand being on the other side of that, you know, kind of what that feels like. And you think about that play, that Hail Mary that beat them, or Kirby Smart has never lost to Tennessee as a head coach. It took a Hail Mary to beat him. So let's look at this game a little bit schematically. You look at Daylon Everett right here. I made some notes. And you start talking about Georgia defensively. You like the matchup. You like the scheme. You like how Georgia's played them. Now, this is Josh Heupel's 5th time, I think, 4th or 5th time he's played him. So he's played to be the 4th time. 5th time. Be the 5th time he's played him. He has to know how Georgia is going to play him. And you know, and I would imagine that Georgia knows how he's going to counter. It's going to be execution. Can you do this and do that? It doesn't matter. Tennessee wants to run the football. I don't think people realize that. They don't really dig into football as much. They want a light box. They led the SEC in running last year. They had a leading rusher in the conference, Dylan Sand. He was, you know, their running back was a bad dude, man. But here's a stat I want to give you. So if you go back to 2022, 2023, and 2024, Tennessee has had 32 offensive possessions, Last 3 years, Tennessee's had 32 offensive possessions. Tennessee's had 4 touchdowns and 32 possessions. Okay. So that tells you Georgia has a pretty good feel on what they're going to do with them and how they're going to play them. They know how to be successful. You still have to execute it. And I know Kirby Smart says 1 year to next doesn't matter. I'll say this. Scheme-wise, it does, because you know what's been successful. You have to tackle out on perimeter, and you have to stop the run game. You have to get them in behind the chains. So that's to me, it's a pretty damn telling stat. 32 offensive possessions and only 4 touchdowns. So that's not good with that. You know, 3 or 4 on downs, 2 or 3 fumbles, 2 missed field goals, 4 field goals made. I mean, it hadn't been – Georgia's been the thorn in their side in this offense. So got another crack, got a new quarterback up there. So we'll see how that goes this weekend. For Georgia versus Tennessee, Tennessee's banged up on the defensive line. They got some guys that are trying to play through, and, you know, they're a little bit banged up over there as well. You know, we talked about it today. I tend to believe that I know everybody wants Georgia to just get out and start firing this thing around, let these wide receivers. I tend to believe right now Georgia's going to test Tennessee. They're going to find out if they can stop the run. They're going to find out what that defensive line actually has. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for Georgia's offensive line to come out. The running backs have looked good. You know, breaking tackles. If they're able to run the football, it's going to free up so much stuff with Gunner in the run game, play action, some stuff they didn't really use last week. So we'll see where we are with that. You know, injuries. People ask about injuries. This is Tuesday night. So you have to kind of put pieces of the puzzle together, and we'll probably hear some stuff. I'll probably have some stuff on Dogs HQ tomorrow. Jake Rowe also has some stuff, our staff there. I think right now I would lean to Ernest Green plays, which is a guy that had started before in that building, which that's valuable. That is very valuable, especially at right tackle. And, you know, I don't know about Juan Gaston yet. I think he's going to be a true game time decision. Who plays in that right spot? Is it going to be Michael Ooney? Is it going to be Dontrell Glover or Daniel Calhoun or those guys that played a little bit there? But listen, I don't know that Georgia would be warm and fuzzy to say they want to start Dontrell Glover, the true freshman at right guard, if they had to. But at some point they have to put him in. I know they're confident in him because he played great the other day. This is a kid out of Langston Hughes. He's got some nastiness to him. Brian Bivens, I need to O-line to jail somehow. You got to get reps. I agree. You got to get guys together, continuity. And that's what builds an offensive line is reps. But right now, they're trying to piece it together and trying to get these guys in there. So if you get Ernest Green back and a guy that's out on the edge to tackle, that should help. Now, here's I'm going to give you a key player Saturday, and we'll open this thing up for questions. I'll give you a key player for Saturday, and that's Drew Bobo. Now, Drew Bobo played a lot better this week in some of the stuff. You see him out in space, and this guy's blocking 2 people sometimes, and you know, when he pulls and gets out, he's held on wheels now in space. Here's where Drew Bobo is going to have to help Gunner Stockton this weekend. He is going to have to communicate with the guys beside him on protections. He's going to have to make sure that him and Gunner are on the same page, because you're not going to be able to hear. It's going to have to be a lot of communication there with that. And you're not going to use hand signals. That place is going to be you just can't. You're not going to be able to force it. You know, Gunner's going to have to walk up and communicate, but it's going to be Drew Bobo. It's a big game for him communication-wise to talk to those guys and tell them who we got, what's the snap count on, and make sure that he and Gunner are on the same page. So, Ty, I think Janelle Aguero is another guy there. Maybe Chris Cole. This is a game that's important to him because Joey Aguilar, Tennessee quarterback, he's been sacked 0 times. He has been extremely comfortable. I believe Georgia last year had 5 sacks, and 4 of those were by inside linebackers, Jalen Walker and Smile Munden. So, and Chaz Chambliss had one, I believe. So, you know, how are they going to pressure him? What are they going to show on third down pressures? What are they going to dial up there? I think Chris Cole, you know about Chris Cole. The Georgia fans know about Chris Cole. does the nation, who else is going to watch this game and see Georgia play for the first time and they go, who the hell is number nine? Who is that dude? So I think it's a big game for him too. I like what I saw out of him. Kyron Jones is going to be a guy that is going to get tested. You know, no question about it. He's going to get tested. If I'm Tennessee, I'm taking shots there. You know, I feel, you know, Dalen Everett, and Daniel Harris, and Ellis Robinson, and KJ Bolden, those guys I get. But if you take Malachi Starks out of it, a guy that you played against last year, and you're going to throw Kyron Jones in there, a guy that I don't know if he's going to play with a cast, but, you know, you're talking about a deep safety that's playing with a cast. You know, I'm going to take a shot there. In Tennessee, one thing they have done and consistently will do is they will take shots. And, you know, the small sample size I saw against Syracuse with Aguilar, he throws a good deep ball. So let's dig into some questions, guys. And I know you guys probably had a lot here. Let's get into some questions. Patty O'Shea says, is Madozi getting any action? Yes, he's getting some reps. And I think don't write him off. What will we see out of him Saturday? This is a game, the way Tennessee plays and how they spread you out, you'll get some one-on-one opportunities from the edge guys. You will be able to get some one-on-ones. That's why I think Jalen Walker had such a good game last year. Chaz Chambliss had a great game. They matched Chaz Chambliss up a lot of times on running backs. I went back and watched. And Chaz Chambliss against a running back, they weren't blocking him. I mean, he was hell on wheels. Now, he got to Nico a couple times. But there were several times he just flushed him out of the pocket because he just had immediate pressure. Brian Bivens, will we see more of Elijah Griffin? Elijah Griffin's in the rotation. I mean, he's playing. He's playing as much as anybody would imagine right now. I expect him to continue that, maybe even play more. This might be a game where he's invaluable. See, Aaron Murray picked Tennessee. I mean, it is. He's got a job to do, and that's probably what he – That's his feel right now. And quite frankly, you know, the point spread was whatever, 7.5, and it got down to, you know, 4.5 or 3.5, whatever it is. But you know, I look at kind of the feel of this. We haven't made our picks yet. I'm going to pick Georgia. But I think that I kind of liked some of the matchups, but can't turn the ball over. Got to be able to run the football. I kind of like that. And I like the defense. They're going to have to continue that. Do you think we'll be talking about Kirby's game ship next week? I don't know. Understand that question. Game ship. I don't know. I may come back with that, Charles. One thing about Kirby thrives when he feels disrespected. They do use some of that stuff. And I don't know that Georgia's actually been, like, disrespected because they're the favorite. I think Kirby likes – listen, he loves Sanford Stadium. That's number one. But I also think there's something, too, going on the road where there's no distractions. Nobody needs tickets from you. You're on the plane. You're locked in the night before. Nobody's – you know, you're not at the hotel with parents and friends and all that kind of stuff. You're locked in. You go to the movies together. You wake up Saturday morning. Here's another thing. You don't have to wait around all day. Everybody I talk to is like how miserable that is. To wait around, especially in a hotel when you're not in your place. Like when Georgia plays Alabama in a couple of weeks, they're going to be able to use that indoor. They're going to be able to walk across the street. They can use their indoor. They can move around, all that. When you're in Alabama, you're going to go to some ballroom and sit around all day. It's kind of, you know, it is what it is, but there's certainly you'd rather play at 3:30 or 12 if you're on the road. Special teams will make a big impact from Robert Lewis there. I need it. It'd be interesting to see if Brett Thorson, you know, he came back this week as a punter. You know, Tennessee was the first team to basically to get any kind of yardage on a punt last year, and Brett Thorson actually made a tackle. He was safe then, made a good play on Boo Carter, open field tackle, save points. Be interested to see if Brett Thorson is good to go where he's at because he's certainly a weapon. Field goals will be – of importance again, and special teams will be there. I was thinking about it last night. You know, somebody mentioned Dylan Bell. Dylan Bell, you know, threw that touchdown pass a couple of years ago on a tall sweep. So, you know, what do you have? Yeah, Dylan Bell, he played a great game up there 2 years ago, man, in Knoxville. He hurt him bad 2 years ago. You know, what do you have up your sleeve? Because you're not going to hold – this is a very important game. You're not going to hold anything back. You're not going – there's no sugarcoating this. This is – you need this win, both teams. It's not make or break. this is a hell of a momentum builder, you know, on the road. Will Muschamp be coaching at Tennessee this week? I don't know that Will's been around in a while. I think Will was there a good bit during fall camp. But right now, he's kind of with his son and spending time in Vanderbilt. But he did spend a couple of weeks with the team in August for sure. I know he's moved back to I think he's moved back to South Carolina and kind of got a lot of freedom. But, you know, he's on speed dial. He still talks to the Georgia staff, and I'm sure he still looks at tape. Even if he's not here, I'm sure Will Muschamp is definitely in communication with some guys if they ask him anything. But not sure you're going to see Will Muschamp on the sideline anytime soon for Georgia. What do you think gets more catches, Noah Thomas or Colby? It doesn't really matter. Just get those guys involved. Because if Tennessee goes heavy in the box, I don't know that it gets any better, guys, to have a 6'5 wide receiver and a 6'6 wide receiver against two corners that are making their SEC start. These are highly recruited players, but they haven't had the experience of these two guys. So I would love – Jake Rose said today on Dogs HQ Plus, he would love to see some back shoulder stuff. I would absolutely love that for those big guys. Body you out, 6'5", 6'6". I think this weekend that Noah Thomas, Georgia fans are going to be like, that's who we wanted to see. That's the guy that came – that was the lead receiver from Texas A&M last year. That's the guy that I want to see. Sylvester, Georgia. Is that Worth County? I think that's Worth County. Robert Toomer, I believe. 69 versus South Carolina. Good deal. A lot of questions here. I may have missed some of those. We'll go back through these guys. Again, big thanks to Hotel Indigo in Athens for being a presenting sponsor for this. And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to worry about – you can go over there on a game day. You can go over there and see it. They have some packages left. I mean, it's you're going to pay for it. But, you know, it is worth every penny. If you want to go to stay two nights in Athens, some of those packages have tickets with them for the Alabama and Texas game and Ole Miss. So – but here's the thing I'll tell you. A lot of people come to work over there during the week. A lot of people go to a basketball game, parents' weekends all through the spring. You know, if you're going to orientation with your kid, if you're going to see your children over there, stay at Hotel Indigo. I promise you, you stay there once, you'll be locked in. Great patio, just great little restaurant there, TVs everywhere. It's awesome. You know what I love about it? I'll show you my age. I got a big-ass parking lot, and I love to be able to just – there's plenty of room right there on the own property. And just walk right across the street and walk in. But they'll take care of you. See Barry and all those guys over there. They're fantastic. One recruiting question. Ty's asking, does Fitzpatrick end up in his class? Justice Fitzpatrick? I think so. And listen, he is a highly recruited defensive back out of St. Thomas Aquinas. And it's Minka Fitzpatrick's brother, younger brother. And he has a huge connection to Georgia with Glenn Schumann and Kirby Smart with his brother. So there. I think Zachariah Branch is a guy that, you know, it's time. You've seen some flashes and those types of things, but get him involved. I will say this. A couple of times last year, Georgia hurt Tennessee with some bubble stuff to Dominic Lovett, and he got chunk plays. Well, no disrespect to Dominic Lovett. He's not as big and he's not as fast as Zachariah Branch. So if you anticipate that type of coverage – and some of the same. Again, it's the same defensive coordinator Tennessee had last year versus Mike Bobo and some of the things they did last year. You're going to see that with Branch. And, you know, love Dom Lovett, great kid. Great he made NFL. But Zachariah Branch is a little bit bigger, and he's got a different gear. Bubby Dean there. Good to see you, Bubby. Does Peanut get more snaps this weekend? Yeah, I think he's going to be more involved. He has to be, to me, really. Especially if I feel like they're going to try to run the ball. You know, here's it again. My guy Jake Rose said this, and I agree with him. I would love to see him out in the passing game. You know, that's hell on wheels, man, to cover that guy in space with a linebacker. I'm not sure that Tennessee's linebackers are overly fast. I think their safeties are good, you know, and that type of thing. So I will say this, talking to everybody I've talked to, their left tackle, Lance Hurd, is the real deal. Like, he is a bona fide NFL. He's their guy, their left tackle. So, you know, Georgia's going to have their hands full. Anybody lines up over the left tackle is going to have their hands full. I believe he's number 53, and he is the real deal. The scouting report I get on him, the NFL people I talk to, that guy's ready to go. Is Rod Robinson ready to go? No, I don't think Rod, I don't, I don't think right now he's ready to go. I think he's been going. I don't really know. I haven't heard a ton about him. And just some other guys. I think Bo Walker is the next guy up, but I think right now with Cash Jones and the other three other guys right now, they're kind of have found their role there. This will be one of those games where you turn around and Cash Jones has two touchdowns. Like, how, you know, what did he get you on? So he can hurt you too. So, yeah, James Cook scored on Tennessee. They lined him up. James Cook scored on Alabama. If you remember, they lined him out wide. That's why James Cook just got $30 million. There's not many of those like that, but they put James Cook on that backer from Alabama, and they spread him out. He scored on him twice. He scored on him in the 2020 game, and then I think he caught a long one in Indianapolis that hurt him too. But 2020 game, he caught a long one over there, or 2020 game, I believe, when they played over there during COVID. So, who do I have Friday? Got a good one Friday. Josh Hobbs, I'm going to say, I agree with you too, man. Chauncey Bowens is a guy that he has really stepped his game up. I like Chauncey Bowens because he breaks freaking tackles, man. He is hard to bring in. He's thick. And I can't say it enough. Break freaking tackle. Got a great game Friday night, guys. Friday night, I have Jefferson and North Oconee, Kamari Brooks, Georgia commit, and I guess a good team. My man Barry Rufford right there is listening from Sarasota, Florida. Barry Rufford, when you go by Hotel Indigo, you go by see Barry, and you tell him thank you for being a part of this show. He will take care of you. They've got the best people over there. I've been in there on nights when it's not a normal night, when it's just a typical business night. Great staff, great people, very just business people from all over the place in the country. So we look forward to being over at Hotel Indigo, but I'm telling you right now, please, when you go for midweek, they got a wedding venue over there. They got everything you could possibly want. So make Hotel Indigo a stop. I guarantee you, you'll be one and done. Hotelindigo.com to or IndigoAthens.com too for that. Well, let's finish a few more questions, guys. Hot take: Tennessee won't get end zone on Saturday. If you look at this, I look at this. 32 possessions. They got in the game. They got end zone twice last year. Georgia be on 31-17. They got in the end zone once in 23. And they got the end zone once in 22 on the 10th possession of the game. So here's kind of what you're looking at. Here's a number of possessions: 22, 11 possessions, 23, 11 possessions, and 24, 10 possessions. So you're basically five possessions a half is what you're doing with them. But the reason why Georgia is limited in that, because they were able to get off the field. So, you guys kind of keep an eye on that, five possessions. If Georgia keeps them to five possessions a half, I feel really good. Now, chances are you're going to give up something. But, you know, I kind of feel good about the run game and one of those things. You just don't want to get in one of those games where you have two fluky turnovers and a crazy start in Alabama. Alabama lost to Tennessee a couple of years ago up there. Next thing you know, they were in a game and got beat. I will tell you this. Somebody asked me how Georgia's going to play Tennessee. I said the exact same way. Because I sit there and watched Alabama lose to them playing zone that year. And I said, I don't know what Tennessee might beat Georgia by 50, but Kirby Smart is not playing zone. He's not going to sit back there and let Hooker pick them apart. And he didn't. And he came after his ass. And you saw the results. So let's finish off here, guys. I want to say again, Hotel Indigo in downtown Athens is the place to stay. Midweek travel, weekend wedding, or cheer on Georgia, or a parents' weekend. Go to indigoathens.com. Book your next stay. It's the place to be in Athens. I promise you right now. You start reading in the comments, guys, that go to these, you'll see it. We're going to go to Athens. We're going to go to Knoxville this weekend. We will be up there, the whole crew, all of us, going up at different times. We'll have shows all weekend. It's a big game, man. It's a big game for Georgia. And I just think that, listen, I'm going to pick Georgia. And I kind of, as the week goes on, I kind of like it a little bit more. But this is one of those things, man. This is no joke. This is no joke. You guys been there. This place can get on you in a heartbeat. Somebody made a social media post. I have no idea who it was. But when you go back in 2023 and you watch Kirby Smart walk out on that field and he's standing there with Dylan Bell and Kendall Milton and he kind of looks around and he taps both those guys on the helmet, you know they were locked in and they beat Tennessee down pretty good up there that day in Knoxville. So they thrive on stuff like this. I would love to hear the locker room speech. It's Georgia versus everybody else. It's going to be a good little showing of red up there, but that's going to be checkerboard orange and white. We're going to find out Saturday at 3:30. But for this week, this episode, this new show, Dog Talk Live, presented by Hotel Indigo in Athens. We'll be back next Tuesday We will be back again this week on Dogs HQ with Georgia Show, with the Georgia Show. And then we will be back on Saturday from Knoxville, and hopefully talking about a win. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you later this week in Knoxville.